This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Tuesday, January 1st, 2019, the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, by Father Jason McCrimmon.
So shall they put my name upon the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. Dear Lord, keep the doors of my lips, and I sin against thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Happy New Year.
So
it's so good to see so many of y'all again during the week. It's a little bit lighter, so I might let this go to my head and say that y'all came to see me as opposed to Father Dodd. People often begin this time of year, this beginning of the new year, in a variety of ways. And some of us may pledge to shed a couple of pounds or look to start eating healthy or exercising, while some may renew some practice of spiritual discipline that was probably neglected in the previous year. Others may determine to enhance their study of God by diving into teachers, by men who are greater or women who are greater than they in the faith. Whatever your choice is, we should above all things look to obtain divine blessings from God this upcoming year. We should ask for our Mother's intercession in that regard. Oftentimes, we don't like to look to obtain blessings in our lives, in our vocations, or in our families because we lack the one essential ingredient, which is a spirit of peace. Yet since the beginning of a Hebrew nation, God has told the people of God that He is the God of peace. He desires to proclaim peace to His people, and He's gone to extraordinary lengths to make it as easy as possible to obtain that peace. We get caught up in the idea that God is an angry God. God is a God who waits for the opportunity to execute judgment on each one of us. That He sits on the end of His throne looking down, looking at your every slip-up and every violation, only waiting for the moment to unleash some new punishment upon you. Today it's a job loss. Tomorrow it'll be locusts. The next week it'll be boils. And the moment you mess up, the moment you miss a prayer, the moment you run late for Mass, show some anger, talk about somebody else, some other sin in your life that you struggle with, God's going to pronounce His judgment upon you and then just wait for the next time when you slip up, as if God doesn't have anything better to do running the cosmos. Consequently, we don't look to the gift of peace. We don't look to obtain divine blessings from God. We don't do it because we're afraid instead of comforted. We are guilt-ridden instead of forgiven. We say we aren't worthy to be called as children. Consequently, we don't really believe that He loves us. Now, as any parent will tell you, there is a fine line between discipline and parenting. On the one hand, we all know that you shouldn't let infractions and disobedience and sin to continue in your child. But on the other hand, there is much wisdom in the old saying to pick your battles. Who as a parent hasn't seen that child that runs away upstairs or tries to run from you whenever they've crossed the line? It's almost comical when they try to sprint away, beating feet to get out of the reach of your hand. I can remember times when my mouth earned me a visit to the fly swatter. No comments. And other times when it got a resounding laugh at the dinner table. Now, if my parents had looked to punish me every single day, if they couldn't wait to dole out some horrible spanking on me or put me on restrictions, I would have been destroyed in spirit. It would have created a child that was afraid and feared them, not with a godly fear, but an unhealthy fear of dread. Translation, I would not have believed that they truly loved me. I knew when I messed up, I deserved it. I didn't like it, but I knew that most often I deserved the punishment I received. Unless, of course, you are blessed with little siblings who say things like, I cannot breathe, or he is hitting me. But I also knew that they loved me, that they wanted the best for me, that they were proud of me, that they were by my side and they were my biggest cheerleaders. when you don't believe that God wants to shower his love, his kindness, his peace upon you, you are no different than that child who runs away, who is afraid to move for fear of punishment. That isn't love, my friends. That's just total submission. Our passages today point to this reality. Look at the first one recorded in Numbers. This is the specific priestly blessing that was given by God to the Israelite people. It has been said this blessing pointed the way to the Trinitarian reality that is God, and it was a specific proclamation of peace for them. Those words, face and countenance, within the Hebrew language are almost exclusively used to always describe God's presence. And throughout the Old Testament, the presence of God, having his face to look upon you, that was a proclamation of salvation, of peace for the individual. Listen to the words of God, not my own. Restore us, O God. Make your face to shine upon us, that we may be saved. The Lord replied, my face will go with you, and I will give you rest. Do not cast me from your presence, O Lord, or take your Holy Spirit from me. God's presence means salvation in your life. It is why he told the Israelite people his angel would guard their way, why their enemies would be crushed, why he described Jerusalem as a coal plucked from the fire. There is a term that is often wrongly used to describe God who punishes wickedness and vice. We like to call that God Old Testament God because there is such frequency of judgment in the passages. Brethren, you want to describe God. You want to go about it in a really old school way. You could say the God of the Old Testament because the God of the Old Testament is a God of peace. He has determined from the moment of your first parent's sin to proclaim peace to his people, and he went to extraordinary lengths to obtain it. Don't mistake me. He is a God who punishes wickedness and vice. He is the God who will one day judge the world. And at times, he may let you fall directly on your face as he turns his face from you because he can no longer bear to look at your sin. But this is the same God who inside does not desire the death of the wicked. He wishes all to come to repentance. This is the God who went so far as to send his son to the executioner just to save you. And he desires to richly bless you with that peace. Now fast forward to the ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of God. Her greatest privilege to become the Mother of God. This was the avenue by which your salvation is wrought. Listen to the words of Scripture. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. Her act of faith, to trust in God, to let it be done unto her, brings that opportunity for peace for all mankind. The Bible repeatedly tells us that she took these moments with Christ and pondered them in her heart. The Greek that is used there suggests that information was taken bit by bit, and then she meditated upon it, digesting it slowly and piecing it together like a puzzle. She was witness to the mystery that none of us could fully understand, but we know with certainty certainly exists. The union of God and man. The divine proclamation that allowed her to be used as the Mother of God, in which the humanness, the flesh of Mary, bore the child that laid in the manger. But that child was both fully God and fully man. And it was through that child, Jesus Christ, who laid there in a manger that the shepherds looked upon, that was circumcised this day so many years ago, that God would provide this avenue of peace. We don't fully understand it. We can only ponder that reality bit by bit. We can only meditate on it in our hearts and piece it together as it is slowly revealed in our lives. But we can never get to that point. We can never fully enjoy that reality until we look to blessings of the proclamation of peace and we believe it in our lives. God said, sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then also an heir through God. Let that reality of your adoption permeate your being. Believe the proclamation of peace that we proclaim in the Mass. Ask for the intercession of your mother to erase all doubt and go forth this year with a renewed sense of divine blessing in your own life as you look to the face of Almighty God. If you will, He will not turn His face from you. He will not leave you stranded in the desert. The enemy will be crushed before you, and you will experience the peace which the world cannot give. Do so, and the Lord will always be gracious to you. Do so, and you will be able to cry out, Abba, Father. Do so like our mother, and believe that you are no longer enemies of God, but heirs, co-heirs of Christ, to the riches and blessings of the kingdom of God. And you will be sitting with your mother one day at the banquet at the kingdom of God. Determine this year that there is no need for doubt. Ask for His blessing upon you, and like our mother, you too will be seated there one day. Amen.